All right. Hey guys, we're back. Part two, roundtable discussion with artist Matthew Samwell, Stephen Swamcoat. The focal point on this talk is really being an outsider. So what were some early obstacles outside trying to get into the art world? You know, important lessons, anything that really sticks with you that you could advise to other artists?
So for me, I went into it really knowing nothing, and knowing no one, not a soul.
Same here.
I think Swancoat's the same way, where I kind of dove headfirst into this thing. Really, I didn't know how the gallery system worked. I didn't have an Instagram account. I wasn't really a social media person beforehand. And it was daunting, I guess. That's the best way I can explain it. You have to create the art. That's, in a lot of ways for me, that's kind of the easiest part. Then you have the whole business. Sometimes people forget that this is a business. It's not charity work. Being an artist, you have to make money too. So there's a whole business side of getting the work out there, getting, connecting, with people, curators, and reaching out to everyone, gallery owners, critics. There's a lot of different people, and I kind of slowly but surely, I was able to build up a following. It takes a while. It doesn't happen overnight, but if you really, going back to before, if you work hard at this, and you give it your all, I can't guarantee it's gonna work, but yeah, at least you have a pretty good chance.
But even if you look at some of the major, even talk about abstract artists like Jackson Pollock with his splatter technique, that was a technique he discovered, years later. Even Rothko with his large multi-form. I mean, he painted still lifes in the subways, decades before his latest work. And so sometimes an artist, who never knows when they may come in their prime.
Yeah, that's
That's
actually a
exactly
very
right.
interesting point to make because with a lot of emerging artists that I am informally representing or showing their work to other art consultants, they're always keeping a very keen eye on where their work was 1 year ago, 2 years ago, and 3 years ago, so they can really see the trajectory and nobody will know what their style can actually finalize into. And it's kind of a day-by-day situation, and that's what I've been noticing a lot of art consultants are doing. They're just keeping up with the shows and seeing what the art is emerging
Yeah.
towards and the style that's sticking.
I think as an artist, I mean, any type of artist, you want to create new and fresh work, because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, even if it's good, and it kind of happened to me where actually I took some time. I stopped painting for about 3 months because I had artist block. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, Swancoat, but I really couldn't think of anything new to do, and I was struggling. I was trying too hard, and you can't try too hard. You just have to kind of let it come
Let
to
it come
you.
from within.
You have to let it come. You don't know when it's gonna come. It's a new idea, but I stopped trying, and that's when all my, this new work for Random Thoughts, the majority of these pieces kind of came from that 3 month hiatus. It's not a coincidence. I mean, it's certainly. Sometimes you just need that time to kind of chill, and at
Yeah,
least for me, it worked out.
I totally agree. I took off about 6 months from painting because one, I got into astrophotography and was beyond obsession. And so, what just started as a hobby is now my newest form of art. And kind of like when you have no cares or worries, you just want to make good art or do what's interesting to you, it works out. And then, second, I took some time off the painting to prepare for the boards. But coming back, I was afraid after 6 months, I thought maybe I'd lose my skills and actually made some of the best work.
Right on. Yeah, one of the key words for me in the art world is organic. You can never force things. You can never try to fit something into a corner. Just got to let it flow. And from the curator's perspective to the artist's perspective, it's definitely playing the same game.
Oh, and not to budge in real quick, but also even from the curator, and like I was talking to a lot of gallery owners in Hong Kong about the fair, and it's funny because you really never know what people are going to buy or what they're going to be interested in.
Absolutely.
And I cannot tell you how many times the pieces, not only mine, but other pieces on artists I thought would be the ones that will fly off the wall,
mm-hmm.
are the last hanging ones there, the ones I thought, who the hell is ever going to buy this, is like sold before the show.
Right.
So it's... You never know, and it's still to this day, I've never proven that wrong.
No, it's yeah, true. I mean, art is all in the eye of the beholder. It's discretionary spending. No one needs paintings. You know, people need food and clothes and water. No one...
Don't forget the water.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a good segue into what you're doing, but I'm always amazed with art because I really appreciate when someone buys one of my paintings because no one needs it. They want it. You know,
it's a good way.
And they're buying it because it's making them feel some
way
in particular.
There's some kind of emotion. There's feel, makes them, you know, when you see a painting that really, or a photograph that, you know, they have the tendency first to change an entire room in someone's home, but also to make you feel something. And there's very few types of art and, you know, things in this world that can give you that type of emotion.
Right on. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about being a curator as for businesses and pop-up galleries is because you can turn one place from black to white in about 3 hours, and it's really mesmerizing. You know, how much you can change an environment and how much that can speak to the employees, the guests, and everyone involved in the situation because of what's on the walls. So art's inspiring.
Absolutely.
Yep.
To say the least. But yeah, moving forward, you know, what's next for you boys?
So for me, you know, we have Stephen Terizzi and I have Random Thoughts coming up, which has been in the works for about a month now, and that's at Spiff for Men, the Grand Central location, which is 750 3rd Avenue. And it's kind of interesting, when Stephen approached me about this show, you know, Spiff is not, you know, your traditional place to, you know, I'd done gallery shows up until this one, and it's not your traditional place to show your work, but, you know, kind of going back to my unconventional career path, different, you know, I've learned that different is not necessarily a bad thing. Different is okay. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to work, you know, with Steven and the people at Spiff and, you know, excited to, you know, have people see my work in a new setting, somewhere that maybe you wouldn't expect it. So that's kind of what's on the horizon for me, just, you know, preparing for that, getting the final, you know, paintings done and, you know, seeing where that takes me. I'm always bummed because Swancoat and I were we had a grand plan together. We were gonna take over the world on 420.
Yeah.
But
well, talk about obstacles.
I'm just gonna
jump
into that.
Long story short, I had found
it was unbelievable.
8 months ago.
Yeah.
Found a gallery space right in Chelsea, 4,000 square feet, two separate galleries conjoined with a double glass door. Quite frankly, the best gallery space I've seen of all of them in New York City.
I would agree.
And in Negoshi got a very good deal, and we were going to split the cost and do a huge week-long kind of exhibition with an opening, a closing, and a few days in between. But long story short, unforeseen things, the building owner ended up getting bought out, and a week later it was a furniture store.
Yeah.
And so, you know...
you went into furniture design?
Basically, you know, hopefully my swan table holds up.
Could we have worked around the sofas and the ottomans? I guess not. Right.
I mean, they closed that glass door and everything because I swung by and saw it. But it just, with art, it's one of those things that is, you know, you have to always kind of keep on your toes because there's parts that are unpredictable. You know, like Matt was saying, like art's a luxury item. So when people are making good money, market's going good, times are good. When depression setting in, they're buying food over paintings. But the biggest thing is just to keep on going. You know, you can't let one thing get you down. And honestly, I mean, maybe for me it was a blessing in disguise because I realized, you know, a month later I was going to Hong Kong and I might have been over my head. And so Although I still would love to do that show.
That would have been. But it's never too late.
It's
know?
Never too late.
Never
so,
too late.
And,
but that space was tough to beat. That was special.
Well, listen, it's, you know, just like with the pop-up spaces and, you know, even if you come across anything, always looking for a nice space to have a good show. So
how about the three of us? You know, we join forces one of these days, right?
Well, I think that will
the dream,
be happening.
It's like the
yeah.
dream team, right?
The dream team.
Right on.
So yeah, well, you know, there's always, you know, always something to do. That's what's,
yeah.
you know, that's what's great about the art world is, you know, no reason to stop, and you know, we're keep on keeping on.
Well, guys, thank you for the time. We're gonna wrap up this discussion today. We have a lot coming up, so stay tuned. And Matthew, Stephen,
thank you for having
us. Good to be here.
All right, take care, guys. Have a great day.